Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study on the home, we were talking about a man and a woman leaving mother and father, cleaving to each other and becoming one flesh. Let's continue with that thought today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now the Word was with God and made everything. And John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, that Word, who is Almighty God and then later became flesh, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in that he affirms to the truth of Genesis 1 and 2, he's also affirming to the truth of creation. And notice that the truth, which every Pharisee of Jesus' day would be well acquainted with, in verse 5, is stated, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now, think about that. Here is a threefold definition, or should we say the character of marriage as intended by God. And that includes leaving mother and father, cleaving to your wife, and becoming one flesh. And we, in verse 6, we see the doctrine. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I was reading recently a newspaper from England, and it told of a lady in her early 40s who was a school teacher, and she seduced one of the young men in her class and entered into the sin of fornication. The lady's husband, by the way, she's not only married but had two children, caught her with the young man. The lady went to jail, and the husband was asked, would he be divorcing his wife? His answer was no. He said his marriage vow included for better or for worse. And his word was his vow, and his vow was his word, and he didn't want to lose that. You know, that is so good. Isn't that good that when you enter the marriage, you're making a vow that whether that person is true or not, you're going to stay true. For better, worse, sickness and health, rich or poor, till death do you part. And you give your word. Your word ought to really mean something. And not only to stick, but to love her, even though she's hurt him very greatly. Now, we find out that in America, one in two marriages end in divorce. We just read in verse 6 that marriage is of God, and therefore let not man put it asunder. And we find that in this area of divorce, the church is not exempt. Now, don't forget that 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That applies to your marriage, as well as to any other part of your life. Now, in America, the divorce rate may be 1 in 2. But there are many parts of the world where people, like in America, they just move in and live together without marriage. And others, that they're allowed to marry more than one wife. And they can have 2, 3, and even up to 4 wives in their household at once. They can do that by the law of their land, but it's still fornication by the word of God. Now, by the way, let me just interject something here. the statistic changes on marriage from 1 in 2 to 1 in 7 when the couple goes to church regularly. Now, I wish I'd studied the statistic more to find out what they meant by regularly. The best statistic that I have found in reading of tests and surveys over my years of full-time pastoring is this statistic, that it is 1 in 1,200 when the couple goes to church regularly and they have a regular family altar at home. That means daily they sit down with the family and read the Bible and pray together. Now, one does not have to be a rocket scientist or a Christian psychologist to figure out what you need to do to have a lasting home. Have a family altar. By the way, not only that, but think of what it does for your children. Our counsel comes from the Word of God. Isn't it true that one of the designations for Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor? In the 119th division of the Psalm and verse 24, he says, "Thy testimonies are my counselors." And the counselors, referring to the testimonies, is referring to the Word of God. So he says unto them, "Have you not read?" And basically what he's saying, have you not read Genesis 1 and 2? By the way, this is showing that all that is written in those two chapters, Genesis 1 and 2, are truth, not allegory. So Jesus then is showing that creation is not to be spiritualized away. In the beginning, God actually did create the heaven and the earth, and Jesus helped create the heaven and the earth. In John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now, the Word was with God and made everything, and John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Of course, that Word, who is Almighty God, and then later became flesh, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in that he affirms to the truth of Genesis 1 and 2, he's also affirming to the truth of creation. And notice that the truth, which every Pharisee of Jesus' day would be well acquainted with, in verse 5, is stated, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Well, in our text, they really think they have Jesus Christ in a corner and confounded. They're thinking, aha, we have him now. So they say, why then did Moses command to give her a writing of divorcement and put her away? You see, they think that Jesus has just said, no divorce ever. But Jesus hasn't played into their hand. They've played into his. As today, they had religious men back then who were trying to either change the scripture to fit their day, in other words, their lifestyle, so it wouldn't condemn it, or they were going to undermine the work of Christ. Now notice the answer, because his answer is also doctrinal. By doctrinal, we mean that by which you live. Now, notice verse 8. "He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so." Now, he's saying Moses suffered. That is, he allowed it. But it is not a clear command to go ahead and put her away. Now, isn't it interesting? Some people say, well, we're not under the law anymore. Jesus went before the law to say, let not man put him asunder. So even before the law, when man was not under the law, that was the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he informs them that the reason Moses did place this thing about the writing of divorcement in there was because of the hardness of their heart. In other words, God preferred for them to allow him to minister grace to their hearts, even if it must be for an unfaithful wife, as it was in the case of Hosea. In the beginning, it was God's will for them to remain married. Now, if you remember in the case of Hosea, his wife was unfaithful, and God told him to bring her back. She had left him. Now look closely at Matthew 19 and verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Well, that's pretty clear. Now, when he says, except for fornication, it means except for this one thing. This word has the idea of this is the exception to the rule of no divorce. Now, again, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Now, what so often is missed in this is the word fornication. Fornication refers to sexual sin of any kind, and it's the idea of continual, unrepentant acts. Matter of fact, the word fornication comes from the Greek word porneia, which we get our word pornography. And it's all types of sexual sin. You see, when he put it down this word fornication, it wasn't the idea of a one-time thing. Rather, it's referring to this. It's something that is ongoing, and the husband or the wife simply will not repent from it. Now, that's the reason for a divorce or the exception there. Now, there are those who teach you never divorce for any reason. They say the Bible does not allow divorce for any reason at all. Well, that would actually go against the words of Christ to say that about this passage. Now understand, it is his first will that even in the case of a mate who is unrepentant, that you would stay married and would rather allow him to work grace in your heart for each day. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.